Good morning, everyone. Welcome to our service here at Water Lane Church this morning. And welcome to anyone listening to this service later on the recording, especially all our friends at Carr's Court. Welcome also to anyone who's visiting for the first time. Please do join us for coffee in the coffee lounge after the service. Stay for a chat. There don't seem to be any extra notices this morning, so we just go straight to the introit by the choir, which is Calm Me, Lord. To welcome Alan Mimak to lead our service this morning, but first David is going to give us a short talk about the Cornerstone charity.
Good morning, everyone. Cornerstone is the charity that we're supporting this month, and I've been asked to say a few words about what Cornerstone's all about. It's situated in Moss Side in Manchester. If you go up Prince's Parkway, it's just behind the Royal Brewery. The sort of people we get coming into Cornerstone, we get really all sorts of people, drug addicts, alcoholics, people who are lonely, people who just want to get warm, people who are hungry. There's the whole host of reasons why people come into Cornerstone. What do they come in for? Well, they come in because they're hungry. We have a restaurant. They can come in and get tea and coffee all day long. It's free. They can get a two-course meal for a minimal amount. We have an optician. We have a hairdresser. We have a computer room full of computers where they can learn to use the internet, create a CV. We have showers, toilets. There's a whole host of things. You can get most of things that you want at Cornerstone to carry on with life, basically. How many people come in? I mean, at any one moment in time, there's about 80 or 90 people in Cornerstone, all sat round at desks, groups, very friendly atmosphere. We occasionally get the odd mishap, but that's soon sorted out. What do I do at Cornerstone? I'm what they call the entertainments manager. I come in very glorious title, that, isn't it? I go in every Monday afternoon. I've been going in for about the last 18 years now, and I do bingo and I do the quizzes. They call me Bingo Dave, most of them. We give away, it's all free. Every week we give away about 10 prizes. So that's about 500 prizes over the course of the year. They're all from donations. It's all free. And sometimes we have it, I run the disco as well. So we try and keep them entertained as much as possible. People ask me why I keep going. I go because I enjoy it. I've made a lot of friends there. They're not the sort of friends that everybody would like to make, but I've made quite a lot of friends there. Every time when I go in, there's a big cheer goes around the room that I've arrived. So that's all the reward that I need to go in. I'd just like to sort of finish with a couple of things. These people are in real need. They're just ordinary people like you and me. They've lost their way in life somehow. They've got the wrong in the wrong family. They've got in with the wrong group, whatever. And they do need our help. Finally, to finish, I'd like to thank everybody who brings me stuff. I get quite a lot of stuff dropped up from my house. I can give you 100% guarantee that everything that you give to me will go to a needy cause. Thank you for listening to me.
David, now over to you, Alan.
Didn't you when I got here? We've got to sing the hymns. Oh, good morning. Good morning. Good morning. Hymn pray. Lord Jesus Christ, you know what it is like to be tempted, for you were tempted in the wilderness, and you know how easy it is to do wrong things, and much harder to do the right you know too what it is to be disappointed, to be misunderstood, to be let down by friends, to be cruelly treated and put to death. Yet you were able to forgive those who wronged you. Please help us not to give in when we are tempted, not to be hurt by what others do, and forgive us if in any way we have wronged you. Help us to forgive those who wrong us, and help us to follow your example through Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen. We're going to sing now the hymn 247, I Danced in the Morning. People are going to leave us, but first a prayer. Lord Jesus Christ, we place into your hands our service together and our worshipping you. We thank you for the opportunity of all ages meeting together in your presence. Bless our young people as they leave us for a short time. Be with us all as we together glorify your name. Amen.
Our New Testament reading is from Mark chapter 1, verses 9 to 13. In those days, Jesus came from Nazareth of Galilee and was baptized by John in the Jordan. And just as he was coming up out of the water, he saw the heavens torn apart and the Spirit descending like a dove on him. And a voice came from heaven, "You are my Son, the Beloved. With you I am well pleased." And the Spirit immediately drove him out into the wilderness. He was in the wilderness for 40 days, tempted by Satan, and he was with the wild beasts, and the angels waited on him. Amen.
Thank you, Sue. Let us pray. God, our hope, we pray for those who live in despair, those caused up in the power struggles of others, becoming the victims of warfare and persecution. We pray for those blinded by false promises, now living under unjust and uncaring regimes. Loving God, when hope is lost and faith destroyed, call us to repentance, renewal, and trust. God of hope, we pray for those who live in despair, those caught in the poverty trap and unable to find a way out. Those dreading the next moment, the next day, because of illness, anxiety, or loss. And loving God, when hope is lost and faith destroyed, call us to repentance, renewal, and hope. And we pray for those caught in the web of sin, guilt, and fear, unable to change and escape. We pray for ourselves when our pilgrimage of faith takes us through dark places of suffering and doubt. God of hope, through baptism you have claimed us as your own. May we never despair, but live by faith in your promise of unfailing love made known to us in the life, death, and resurrection of our Lord and brother Jesus Christ. Amen. We now sing the words related to our lesson, 40 days and 40 nights, the hymn 236. So familiar with the story of Jesus' temptations in the wilderness that it is difficult to say anything new on this passage. Matthew, Mark and Luke all tell the story in their own ways. They don't all say the same things. And I've been preaching in this church for 23 years, so I must have said something about it at some time. If we imagine that after the baptism by John and the voice from heaven saying, "You are my son," that Jesus wandered off on his own to meditate on this wonderful spiritual religious experience, then you need to be aware that it is not compared to someone who goes for a walk to be on their own for a while to sort things out or for a bit of peace. In the baptism, Jesus hears the voice, "You are my son, whom I love. With you I am well pleased." And the same spirit at his baptism drives him into the wilderness to face 40 days of testing. He didn't choose to go. He was thrown out. The actual word is ekbalai, which means to thrust forth, and it comes from the word the Greek word that is ekbalo, which means eject by force, to reject with contempt, to expel. They're strong words. And I don't know why the NIV gives the weaker word sent. He was driven into a hellish place with Satan, wild beasts, and angels. And if you want to get the feel of it, think of those families who are driven from their homes where they have been living and find themselves without a home in a foreign place. A government or a political group or just individuals drive them out, burning their homes and killing and raping and making life a hell for those families. The peace of home where they felt safe becomes a very frightening world to them. That's the feel. In my lifetime, as a result of the development of science, technology, medicine, psychology, counselling, etc., we are dismissing out of our minds that there is a devil or angels roaming outside in the wide world, nor is there a God for that matter for so many people. Yet we are ready to believe that there is such a thing as temptation. But it is usually something in us which responds to something outside of us, like a box of chocolates during Lent, or a second helping for that delicious cake, or more seriously, to steal from a shop, or raid a bank, or sexually abuse another person. Oscar Wilde said he could resist everything except temptation. The devil is not a frightening body with a fork, as depicted in former the days when heaven and hell were separated, and that there were these awful pictures that were created and presented. The devil is not a frightening body, but more like a well-groomed person out to deceive you. And we start to think in modern terms that all the temptations of Jesus were inside his mind and not outside in the wilderness. That Jesus thought of being a hero in the eyes of the people, that he could be famous, that he could be a great political leader. And that was all in his mind, and these were the temptations in his mind. And we have come to think that these devils and wild beasts are not outside us, but in us, and we become beasts with envy, hatred, malice, greed, lust, etc., etc. But think of the people who live in the wilderness, but they're wild beasts, and not within themselves. It is those fearful monsters spitting fire from the skies and fire from the barrels of their guns and explosives. These people don't see the devil within themselves, but by something frightening outside themselves. And it is both inside and outside. And this belief that the modern sophisticated world can solve its problems with its own resources seems to me to be just a pipe dream. There is a great danger that with all our expertise we can slip into the idea that we don't have to take any responsibility at all. That we live in a world governed by material forces. If we want to get rid of evil things in our world, there is a rational explanation to help us to get rid of it. Education, for the ignorant, changing the social system, improving people's lives, more money, more opportunities provided, providing better psychological and counselling treatment. That's what I hear to be the answer to all our problems, those things that we have developed ourselves. And I agree that a lot of the problems can be solved by what I've listed, but not all our problems. In spite of all we have tried, it seems there is still something in the human heart and world which does not respond to any of this. That we are shocked, in spite of science and technology, by the depth and power of what seem like forces of evil in the human heart and in our world. But we still believe we have a cure or an explanation for what goes on in human hearts and lives. And it is called behaviorism. Meaning, humans have the ability to cure all human problems without resorting to religion. And I am challenging that view. Do you remember the evil man who beheaded and ate other humans? Do you know what I'm talking about? Do you know who I'm talking about? Hannibal Lecter. The main character in Silence of the Lambs. And Hannibal is in prison and visited by Officer Starling, who is trying to understand what makes him tick so that she can help him. And he says to her, "Nothing happened to me. I happened. You can't reduce me to a set of influences. You have given up good and evil for behaviorism, officer. You've got everybody on in moral dignity pants. Nothing is ever anybody's fault. Look at me," he says to Officer Starling. "Can you stand to say I'm evil?" With psychology and sociology, etc., Officer Starling is the product of that secular thinking. And Hannibal Lecter challenges the secularism, saying, "You have to tell all the families of those poor people that I beheaded and ate that my mother didn't love me. You can't hold me responsible. You can't even hold her responsible." And the novel protests about the view that we can explain everyone's bad behavior is due to faulty upbringing, social circumstances, psychological disturbance, government policy, keeping bad friends. We could go on and on and on and on and say, "It's not our fault. I'm just the product of society." On a lighter note, I don't want to depress you. I don't want you to go out feeling, "Oh God, he's come again." In West Side Story, which tells the modern version of Romeo and Juliet in the form of gang warfare in New York between the Jets, the Native Americans, and the Sharks, the Puerto Rican immigrants, the police constantly try to stop the fighting and the killing. And after a lecture by the police, who then left the scene, the Jets sing their famous song to make excuses as to why they behave like they do. "Dear kindly sergeant, a crook key, you've got to understand, it's just our bringing up key that gets us out of hand. our mothers all our junkies, our fathers all our drunks. Golly, Moses, naturally we're punks. Old G officer Krupke, we're very upset. We never had the love that every child ought to get. We ain't no delinquents, we're misunderstood. Deep down inside us there is good, there is good. And then they take one of them, one of the boys, one of the delinquents, and they put a judge's hat on him, and then they get another one, who is the delinquent, and they say, Officer Krupke, you're really a square. This boy don't need a judge, he needs an analyst care. It's just his neurosis that ought to be curbed. He's psychologically... Do you get the message? You remember that, won't you? And J.K. Rowling says the same in her literature. There are few things more evil in denying that there's evil. And Andrew Dilbenke, in his book The Death of Satan, describes how Americans have lost the sense of evil. And he writes, a gulf has opened up in our culture between the visibility of evil and the intellectual resources available for coping with it. So do we believe there are demonic forces out there? If so, then we are led to believe it is not just evil choices by human beings. And I tend to believe it is both. That there are bad things out there which affect us to behave in ways we would not follow if they weren't there. But at the same time, we have to take responsibility. If you say that the devil is to blame for my behaviour, you're just doing the old tricks with Hannibal Lecter by saying, I'm not to blame, my mother not to blame. It's the devil in me that's to blame. I accept no responsibility for my behaviour. And in counselling, and I've done a lot of that, we do not present ourselves as miracle curers, but rather to help the person to take responsibility for their problem. That Jesus met the devil's advances and took charge by resisting the temptation. He took charge. He took responsibility. Having said that, I do recognise that there are some who have mental illnesses which affect behaviour. Don't please link those in what I'm saying. I can only talk generally in asking that in spite of all the sciences, is our behaviour significantly changed? This last week, with what we've heard on the news, I have heard this word said again and again, pure evil. And I'm raising that question. What is pure evil? Is John Venables, who killed James Bulger, evil or sick or badly behaved? Or was it his parents? Well, in Trevor MacDonald's TV programme only a couple of weeks ago, the word evil was used again and again. Are those who attended the only charity event, the only men-only charity event, and groped women evil, sick, badly behaved? We could go on. Is the taxi driver who doped and raped women evil, or sick, or badly behaved? Those are the questions. What I'm trying to say is that there are many things inside us and outside which can be of evil origin, but we have to take responsibility as Jesus did by resisting evil. And remember that the angels came to him after he'd taken control himself, after he had resisted the temptation. It was then the angels came to him. So what is our wilderness experience? You could say, well, I have no desire to turn stones into bread, or throw myself down from Blackpool Tower, or seek to become a world leader. Mark doesn't mention these temptations of Jesus. It's Matthew who takes them, and Luke adds also. It may be a place where we are tempted within ourselves to drift into despair by what is happening without us, tempted to give up, tempted to be cynical and unbelieving, tempted to think only of our own problems, tempted to look after number one and everyone else can look after themselves, tempted to believe that there is no God in this terrible world and we are on our own, so what's the use? That all we see around us is wilderness and wild beasts and evil on a grand scale, filling the news, and we don't see the angels. And we are led to unbelief. Ill health can so often feel we are in a wilderness which leads us to despair. Whatever may be the dark places in our lives, we need to remember that there are angels, there are resources to comfort us, to strengthen us, to guide us, to help us, to feed us. Jesus was not totally alone, nor are we. Our wilderness can also be a sense of inner isolation, a sense of being alone, boringly alone, desperately alone, that we may try partying, chatter, drink, sex, drugs, even religion. Whatever we try brings us back to the same loneliness, the same emptiness. But St. Peter wrote, "Beloved, do not be surprised at the fiery ordeal which comes upon you to prove you, as though something strange were happening to you. But rejoice insofar as you share Christ's sufferings, that you may also rejoice and be glad when his glory is revealed." Then the wilderness within our hearts becomes a place of peace and reassurance and a challenge to ministry, and you find yourself in the company of angels and you become alive instead of feeling isolated and alone. Then we can find our vocation. We can feel we belong, because we have heard him say, "You are my son, you are my daughter." But if you listen to the voices of the angels and not the voice of the devil, then our period in the wilderness can be a strong growing point in our relationship with God. We're going to sing, as we prepare now for our communion, 592, "Let Us Break Bread Together."
Thank you.
Please be seated. We will follow the service and we will come to the table at the appropriate point. Let us pray the first prayer. Almighty God, let us confess our sins to God. Most merciful God, we confess that we have sinned against you in thought and word and deed. We have not loved you with our whole heart. We have not loved our neighbours as ourselves. In your mercy, forgive what we have been. Help us to amend what we are and direct what we shall be, that we may delight in your will and walk in your ways, through Jesus Christ our Lord. If we confess our sins, God is faithful and just and will forgive our sins and cleanse us from all unrighteousness.
Amen.
We say the Lord's Prayer. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come. Thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, deliver us from evil. Thine is the kingdom, the power and the glory. We share the peace. We are the body of Christ in one spirit. We were all baptized into one body. Let us therefore keep the unity of the Spirit in the bond of peace. The peace of the Lord be always with you. We share the peace. Lord and giver of every good thing, we bring to you bread and wine for our communion, lives and gifts for your kingdom, all for transformation through your grace and love, made known in Jesus Christ our Saviour. The Lord be with you. Lift up your hearts. Let us give thanks to the Lord our God. We praise you, gracious Father, our Maker and Sustainer. You created the heavens and the earth and formed us in your own image. And though we sinned against you, your love for us was constant, and you sent your Son Jesus Christ to be the Saviour of the world. Sharing our human nature, he was born of Mary and baptized in the Jordan. He proclaimed your kingdom by word and deed and was put to death upon the cross. You raised him from the dead, you exalted him in glory, and through him you have sent your Holy Spirit, calling us to be your people, a community of faith. And so with angels and archangels and all the choirs of heaven, we join in the triumphant hymn, Holy,
Holy, Holy, Holy, God of power and might, heaven and earth are full of your glory. Sun in the heights, blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord.
Holy God, we praise you that on the night in which he was betrayed, our Saviour Christ took bread and gave you thanks. He broke it and gave it to his disciples, saying, "Take, eat, this is my body given for you. Do this in remembrance of me." After supper, he took the cup of wine, gave thanks, and gave it to them, saying, "Drink from it, all of you. This is my blood of the new covenant poured out for all people for the forgiveness of sins. Do this in remembrance of me." Remembering, therefore, his death and resurrection and proclaiming his eternal sacrifice, we offer ourselves to you in praise and thanksgiving as we declare the mystery of faith. Send down your Holy Spirit that these gifts of bread and wine may be for us the body and blood of Christ. Unite us with him forever and bring us with the whole creation to your eternal kingdom. Worship you in songs of everlasting praise. Blessing and honor and glory and power be yours forever and ever. We break this bread to share in the body of Christ. Amen. We are one body because we all share one. Let us pray. We do not presume to come to this your table, merciful Lord, trusting in our own righteousness, but in your manifold and great mercies. We are not worthy so much as to gather up the crumbs under your table, but you are the same Lord, whose nature is always to have mercy. Grant us therefore, gracious Lord, so to eat the flesh of your dear Son, Jesus Christ, and to drink his blood, that we may evermore dwell in him and he in us. Amen. Jesus said, "I am the bread of life. Those who come to me shall not hunger, and those who believe in me shall never thirst." Draw near with faith. Take and eat in remembrance that Christ died for you. Take and drink in remembrance that Christ shed his blood for you. Take that bread. The body of the Lord Jesus Christ broken for you. Take and eat in remembrance that Christ died for you. And be thankful. The body of the Lord Jesus Christ broken for you. Take and eat in remembrance that Christ died for you. And be thankful. The body of the Lord Jesus Christ broken for you. Take and eat in remembrance that Christ died for you, and be thankful. The body of the Lord Jesus Christ broken for you. Take and eat in remembrance that Christ died for you, and be thankful. The body of the Lord Jesus Christ broken for you. Take and eat remembrance that Christ died for you, and be thankful. Go in peace. God's peace be with you always. Amen. Let us pray as we go in God's love. We thank you, Lord, that you have fed us in this sacrament, united us with Christ, and given us a foretaste of the heavenly banquet prepared for all people. Amen. We're going to sing our closing hymn, and during the hymn, your gifts for God's work will be received. Jesus, the name high over all, 357. Kingdom established on earth as it is in heaven. With these gifts, we pray a blessing that they may do exactly what our hearts would desire through Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen. Now let us say the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ and the love of God and the fellowship of the Holy Spirit be with us all evermore.